Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Lou Gowen. I want a sound effect.
Okay.
Can we get a soundboard of sound effects? I want the horn thing.
Yeah.
Wah, 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 wah.
Anyway, hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you on this very farty sound effects day?
I am doing okay. Was meant to run to work yesterday. I didn't do it. Was meant to run to work today. Didn't do it.
What's wrong?
Well, I'm not feeling too great, but I don't think I'm not feeling great enough to not run.
Okay.
So there's a guilt element there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm letting myself down. The marathon's...
It's creeping up.
The marathon is before the week before WrestleMania.
Oh, because you won't be busy at that point.
Ah. So if anyone wants to sort of track down...
Do the run for you?
I feel like WrestleMania's really close.
Well, it is really close.
Yeah,
it's
it
like,
is.
It's like next week, it'll be 2 weeks away.
And then I think, oh, wait, no, that's not right, what you've just said, is it?
Pretty sure it is.
So... I can't be.
Yeah, next Monday. No. It's the 25th next Monday.
Oh, God.
Which means.
So here we are.
Yeah, so the 24th this coming Sunday.
Oh, my God. It's 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah. So it'll be. It's 2 weeks Sunday.
Oh, my God. The marathon is 2.5 weeks away. And WrestleMania. No. Oh, okay. The marathon's the week after WrestleMania.
Well, that's all right then.
Oh. Still way too close.
Yeah.
But yeah. Cool. Yeah, crap. So that's what's on my mind at the moment.
Oh, mate.
Apart from the whole eternal war we're waging with Screen
Yeah, absolutely,
Story,
yeah, which is really taking up a lot of our time.
What about you?
Yeah, no, things are going well, mate. Slowly starting to recover from my hectic weekend away. Lots of travelling again over the weekend.
And crying at Queer Eye on a train.
And crying at Queer Eye on a train, which I did for 2 episodes on a train. Because I went to Mhuntleth in Wales to go see my brother.
Bless you.
Thank you. And the last train that you can effectively get to get you to Mhuntleth is at 20.
Bless you.
Thank you. Is at 20 to 7 in the evening because it's very, very out there. It's like the second to last stop. So we got the train at Euston at 20 to 7, which took us up to Birmingham New Street. And we had an 11-minute gap at Birmingham New Street before we had to get the train to Aberystwyth, which would have taken us to Mhuntleth. And our train was delayed outside of Milton Keynes, which meant we were about 3 minutes late getting into Birmingham New Street, and we missed the connection.
Oh, no, and that was the last one.
Last one. And so we then had to go to Birmingham. Oh, no, to International. Then we went to New Street and got a train to Shrewsbury and got a train from Birmingham to Shrewsbury and then got a taxi that they had arranged for us from Shrewsbury to Mhuntleth, which was 90 minutes. And it was 90 minutes with a taxi driver listening to 505, non-stop Brexit talk for 90 minutes.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of Brexit. I fell asleep for a little bit, though, because I was quite tired.
I just woke up with hate. Why am I so angry?
why am I angry at some of these callers? So that was the journey there. So we didn't actually get to Mhuntleth until...
Bless you.
Thank you. Until midnight. You know, and we'd left at like, you know, well, I think I left the office at like 5:30.
Left at Tuesday.
Yeah. And then coming back... rail replacement service at Mhuntleth, so we had to
Bless
get.
You.
Thank you. Had to get a bus from Mhuntleth.
Bless you.
Thank you to Newtown, and then get the train there to Birmingham. So we left my brother's at 7:30, got through the door at 12:30 in the afternoon, and got home at 7:15.
Traveling Tales.
Traveling Tales, Traveling Tales. Tales of traveling on a train or an automobile or an aeroplane. I want to know what your traveling tales.
That's from a much better podcast.
much better.
The Adam and Joe
Show. All aboard the Skylord! Much better podcast. But yeah, so those were my traveling tales. So I was very tired by the end of it.
Mm. Should have just run it.
Well, I could have done, I suppose.
I would have.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Training for your marathon.
Training.
This comes in from Bedazzle, who says, hi, Luke, Ollie, and no, don't think I'm missing anyone here. I've got a suggestion for the Andy fan. Name fan, because there's only one. I think we've had that joke before. Anyway, he says, love you guys, and I love Andy too.
Was it? It was just...
Just fan.
What fan?
Yeah.
Right.
Where are we? Jack Van Fleet has emailed in to say, hi there, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and Never Randy.
Jack Van Fleet sounds like a grim tale, doesn't he? Or beware Jack Van Fleet. Well, he's going to come and steal your squirrels.
Van Fleet is one word. I've mistakenly said it was two words previously.
Van Fleet.
Maybe it's Van Fleet.
Van Fleet.
Could be.
That's weird. I always thought Van was kind of a Dutch thing for son of.
Of, yeah.
It's like, here's Eric Van.
Yeah.
Here
is
Dave.
Here is Rob of Dam.
Rob of. Oh, of a place, not of a father.
Oh, could be. Unless Dan was his dad.
Who knows?
Hey there, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and Never Randy. I've been a pledgehammer for a couple of months now, and I'm very glad I made that choice to become one. I'm sad I couldn't maintain the $25 a month pledge, but I'm still happy to be able to give any amount in support to you guys, and as a thanks for the support you've all given me. I started watching your content late 2017 and was hooked from there, only becoming a wrestling fan in 2016, as it gave me a lot of content to consume during my time at home since I wasn't attending school. Having daily videos from people that genuinely make me laugh has helped make my day happier, something rare for me due to severe depression, and has even caused me to miss large chunks of school. So thank you for all the awesome content and making my days that little bit brighter. JVF.
We are more effective than prescription medicine.
Shall I put that on the podcast?
Yeah. Asterix.
Please consult a doctor.
Please consult.
We also got
the
an
podcast should be taken audibly.
Nice. I think we could
or
probably
a suppository.
I think we could probably close the Discord name chat because Russell Corders is never going to beat New World Discorder, I'm afraid, Cosmic Anvil. Mm. I think we could probably close the chat on Andy names as well because I just don't think we're going to get one.
Yeah. But Chopper Pete's over.
Oh, Chopper Pete's well
over.
Oh, yeah. He's such a nice guy.
Chopper Pete. Everyone that's... he's on the other side.
Yeah,
though,
he's an awful person.
Okay, that's not... Let's pick that up later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Here is a
so much continuity. Now I know how Feige feels.
Here is a WrestleTalk Get Better from Vacant. It says, hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and 100% not Randy. As someone that isn't interested in, quote, getting fit, it came to my attention after a picture was shown to me that I'm a lot bigger than I used to be and would like to be. So I come to you because I think the feeling I would get from you guys wishing me well would keep me motivated as I listen to you guys pretty much every day. So I guess you could say you guys are my favorite content creators.
Yeah.
And he's got two thinking face emojis there. I think it's the Android ones with like it's the sort of yellow half moon face or half circle face. That's still an emoji.
I don't know because emoji is like a trademark.
It's like a brand thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Company.
Yeah. So it's like an Android version of it.
Yeah. It's like calling a vacuum cleaner a Hoover.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You don't know.
It's the brand name. Or Tannoy. Anyway, I weighed myself before writing this, and I'm currently 15.9 stone, which I'm not happy about in the slightest. In my current relationship, you could definitely say I'm punching above my weight, so my goal is to look better for the both of us. So I am to be 14 stone and a lot more toned. Thanks for reading this, and I look forward to keeping you updated. I attached this photo to be shown to me, as you can see, why I'm not so happy. But that's the photo that he's attached, but I don't think you look too bad there at all.
You look great.
You do look great.
Yeah,
but
looks kind of like a young Jason Bateman.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah. We think you look great anyway,
Vacant.
But best of luck to you in your ways of getting better. I've started doing bicep curls of a morning now.
What with?
Kettlebell.
Oh, not with like some tins of beans.
No.
A block of butter.
Yeah.
A knob.
It's a different kind of knob working than I'm used to. I decided that I need to do... So I'm doing push-ups of a morning now and crunches and squats. Mm. And I've now added bicep curls to my routine to try and physically improve myself that little bit more.
Young boys in the New Japan Dojo... 100 air squats every morning.
What's an air squat? Is that where you do the back, forward, up thing?
No, that's a. God damn it, that's a burpee.
Oh, okay, yeah.
An air squat's just a squat with no weight on it.
Well,
usually you would have like a bar across your back holding with weight on. Mm-hmm. That's like a squat because there's a weight. But an air squat is where you have no weight on you.
I thought that was just a squat.
It is, yeah, I guess it is. It is also just a squat, but it's mostly ineffective because there's no weight there. Mm. It's just more of a cardio thing.
I'm doing it with a kettlebell holding out in front of me. Mm. I don't know if that makes it any better.
Yeah, that's a weighted squat, yeah.
But it certainly helps me keep my balance. And it feels like I'm doing something good. My arms hurt a little bit today because I did so many bicep curls yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I can see, man. 1,000.
I kept saying to my wife, like, just pointing to the kitchen, but like doing like the proper like Triple H bicep points.
Like Jinder in no time. Canadian.
I would love to be Canadian. That's why I'm wearing so much flannel these days.
Why are you so ashamed of being British?
Because Canada's awesome. Anyway, let's crack on.
We invented Canada.
Let's get into the show. We've got a lot to talk about with this Kofi segment because Captain Negative over here hated every element of it and thinks that Beth Phoenix is a garbage smelly wrestler. So lots to talk about. Here's the show.
So, SmackDown. We're going to talk about the Kingston match, which was... The entire second half of the show.
Yeah, despite advertising it was going to kick off the show.
Okay, so I'm not negative on this at all.
Sounds like
Not negative on this at all. Everyone else seems to have enjoyed it tremendously.
Can I replay a conversation that you and I had this morning when you came into the office and you went, "What did you think of SmackDown?" I was like, "Oh, I loved it. I gave it a SmackDown rating." Yeah. And you went,
Right. So it's that thing again. It's that thing again where everyone's loving it and they're like, "Oh, it's the best thing. 5 out of 5. One of the most memorable episodes of SmackDown ever." And I was there with you for a bit of it. But then overall afterwards, I was just left feeling a little bit, well, I enjoyed it. Mm. But, you know, I had ridiculously high expectations and shame on me for getting swept up in that. And for me, it didn't hit the creative highs that I thought the setup could do. But I still enjoyed it. I still enjoyed it loads. This is the case of, I can't remember. What's a movie that we've done this? Oh, like you said,
Kong Skull Island, 5 out of 5 movies.
One of the best movies ever made.
Oh my God, it's tremendous. It's wonderful.
And here's me sitting here. I loved it. I really enjoyed Kong Skull Island, but I did not think it was the best thing ever. So I'm in this weird state where I've got to defend... not thinking something was the best episode of SmackDown ever.
So here is where I come in from this side of things. I was thinking about this on the way into work today as to why I really enjoyed this episode. And I think part of it comes from I don't actually have the emotional connection to Kofi Kingston that I think a lot of our audience do. Because a lot of our audience, it would appear, are either young now or were young when Kofi was first coming into the company. That's why a lot of people have very fond memories of SOS. They have a lot of... And I have no fond memories of that. I was in my 20s when Kofi Kingston came into the company. So I'm not really like... Yeah, I didn't like Air Boom. I didn't like any of that sort of stuff. So I don't have that emotional connection to Kofi Kingston. But I've always thought he is an incredible wrestler and an incredible talent. So I think all of my emotional attachment to this storyline and to me wanting to see this Kofi Kingston journey is down to the booking that they've done in telling this story, in making me want to see this match even more. And I thought this episode was another episode. Granted, it could have been done better. This could have been done better from the start, but... At least it is the most coherent and probably the best, one of the better stories leading into WrestleMania at this point. Better than Seth versus Brock. It's better than, it's remarkably better than the women's triple threat match, which has fallen off the rails. It's better than Kurt Angle's retirement. It's better than Alexa Bliss being a host. It's better than the Braun stuff. It's better than any of the tag stuff, which is non-existent currently. So I think I'm so into this story and I'm enjoying it so much that I thought this episode was a home run.
What you've described there, Luke, is Stockholm Syndrome.
It's low bar syndrome, yeah.
WWE don't just set the low bar.
They are the low bar.
But, okay, so again, I must reiterate every time, I really enjoyed this week's second half of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Right, so let's go, because I don't think it's fully my fault for expecting so much.
I don't blame you either.
WWE announced, I believe it was late last week.
It was on Sunday, or Saturday or Sunday, I think it was. It was over the weekend.
And on their website, up until a few hours before SmackDown started, because they changed the wording to read tonight, it said SmackDown will kick off with Kofi Kingston's gauntlet match. And the reason that was so exciting for us is we got invested in this idea that Kofi Kingston, the gauntlet match will start the show, and then they'll have to keep on bumping other segments that they've announced because it's still going on. Oh my God. And you get this two-hour gauntlet match. What better way to go one better than the previous hour-long gauntlet match that kicked off this whole Kofi push than go 2 hours?
Yeah.
Than double or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So they advertised that. They made us think that. And then the show starts with The Miz. And then the Becky Lynch segment, and then Iconics and Sasha Banks and Bayley. And
slightly out of order, but yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, just bits that I would not have cared if any of those were bumped by a better Kofi match.
I did think, because when The Miz started the show, I was like, oh, okay, card subject to change. I get to use that joke again. It always feels like SmackDown is really the most card subject to change show of WWE.
And that's saying something.
And that is saying something. And I was like, okay, it's the Miz thing. I was like, well, you know, maybe the Kofi match will start after this. And then the Iconics and Boss and Hug thing. And I was like, okay, well, it'll start after this then. And then it was the Kevin Owens thing. I was like, okay, well, it'll start after this then. And then Brian came out from a promo and I was like, oh, I mean, I guess it'll start after this. And eventually it did start. And I was actually then amazed to realize that took up an hour of the show.
Mm.
Like, just that one match, the tag match, and all those promo segments with Randy and Ray backstage took up the first hour of the show. And then the second part of that was the gauntlet match.
So that's my first argument for the episode as a whole. I don't think it was a great overall episode because the first half was just average at best.
So-so.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there was nothing horrible about it.
I completely agree.
Yeah, it was just
completely
filler.
Completely agree with you.
But the Kofi match, okay, let's get on to this. So it starts, Daniel Bryan and Rowan cut a promo beforehand saying how it's unjust, like it's injustice because Kofi was picked.
Yeah.
I really like this was Bryan's promo. Brilliant as always, brilliant delivery, brilliant content. And he's framing Kofi as the one who was handpicked by the McMahons.
But he sort of was, though. Like, he was handpicked by WWE to replace Mustafa Ali. Like, Kofi didn't, like, fight to get a place in the Elimination Chamber. He was handed that opportunity. The New Day just chose him to go forward. Mm. And I loved this in Daniel Bryan's promo because, as I said in my review, it adds another layer to the Daniel Bryan character of why he doesn't like Kofi Kingston. He almost sees himself in Kofi Kingston, the Daniel Bryan was way back when. Only that Daniel Bryan had to work to get into that WrestleMania 30 match with Randy and Batista. This Kofi lad, he was handed all of these opportunities.
Yeah, the parallels are great.
And he ignores all of the parts where Kofi has then worked, like running the gauntlet in the elimination, doing the gauntlet match previous, being screwed out of his Fastlane match. He's ignoring all of that bit and focusing on this bit over here, which I think is a really fascinating part of the Daniel Bryan character.
Well, I mean, Bryan does bring up that Kofi has lost all those big matches. So it's from I love a justified heel.
Yeah.
When you can focus in on something and spin it in your own dastardly way.
Ignoring all of he ran the gauntlet, he did this, he did this. Just focusing on, but he lost.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how hard you worked in those matches, you lost. So you haven't earned this spot.
But then an hour into the show, an hour after it should have started, as was advertised, as WWE set my expectations. Don't think I'm in the wrong there for wanting that to happen. And New Day come out and they're hyping. It was serious New Day. Kofi storms down to the ring. He's ready for this five-person gauntlet match. And that it starts off with Sheamus. And I'm so invested. I'm genuinely excited and amped up. The crowd are so into Kofi. It's a great story. It's a great story that they're telling here. And here was the key thing for me. This was the best thing of the entire show. Arguably, of this whole pay-per-view cycle so far in WWE. Cutting backstage.
Oh, this is great.
To first, just Big E and Xavier watching the match on the screen. And then you cut back to the action. He's wrestling Sheamus. You go back a few minutes later, backstage, and the Usos are there, also watching, cheering Kofi along. The Usos, such a significant part of that.
Right.
Because it's the New Days and the Usos who had their excellent tag team feud through 2017 and then forever. But it's just like those two teams feel so embedded in each other. And even though there's a professional rivalry here, they're there to root for their boy Kingston. And then every time it cuts back, there's a few more baby faces there. Mustafa Ali.
Heavy Machinery. EC3 was there. Ricochet. Yeah. I only noticed him when I was going back to get images. Ricochet was there. Nikki Cross was there. Carmella was there. The Hardys. Truth was there. And it really did feel like it was the babyface locker room all pulling together. And there's that moment right at the end of this when Kofi wins and he runs the gauntlet and New Day are in the ring celebrating with him. The crowd are going like ape poop around the ring and they cut backstage and the SmackDown locker room is going like ape as well. Only for then for Vince McMahon to come out and just take all of that away. The only thing it was missing was that reaction then of those people watching backstage to Vince's announcement.
Well, I didn't mind. If that's what you're going to do, I didn't mind that they had the reaction. I'm sure that's going to pay off next week in some kind of Occupy SmackDown angle. But yeah, that was just such a really nice way to tell that story. And throughout the lengthy promos that took up the first half of this show, every babyface promo had an obligatory name drop for, but we're rooting for you, Kofi.
Yeah.
Miz had one. Styles had one. Owens had one.
Foreshadowing later on in the night. Not only that, but Miz's promo pointed out that Shane McMahon is a disgusting human being just like his father, Vince McMahon, further foreshadowing what Vince would do later on in the night.
So I love that. I love the coherence of it. But then the actual matches... I was really into Kofi versus Sheamus.
I loved that one.
Yeah,
that was it might be my favorite one.
Yeah, of the bunch, because it was right at the start. They went long. Like, this wasn't Kofi getting an immediate win. It was like, oh my God, if Kofi's going this long with Sheamus, how's he going to run through four other guys?
Yeah.
And just a really good match, and the crowd are so into it. And I've written down here wholesome. Like, the whole Kofi storyline feels so wholesome. And there's a point where he points at the WrestleMania sign. Trouble in Paradise was reversed. I'm like, and it was. I was really. There was a point where Sheamus had a Texas cloverleaf locked in.
Yeah.
And I was on the edge of my seat.
And I actually think credit to the commentators as well. I thought the commentators did a really good job of getting over that Kingston might be out of here at the first hurdle. I thought they did a really good job of setting that up.
Byron Saxton was really good.
Byron also made a call as well that I didn't pick up on it. It was pointed out to me on Twitter where it's saying that I'll find the exact quote if you'll fill for me.
So Kofi, I believe, hit the Trouble in Paradise in the end for the win over Sheamus.
Yeah.
I boom. Okay, cool. Next one, and then it's Cesaro. Unfortunately, Cesaro probably could have been the best match, but most of it was in a shrink screen ad break. And they're going backstage for the cut still, and there's more and more people watching on the monitor. And Kofi just gets out a win at the end with the SOS.
Yes.
Which is, that was fine.
But again, I like that they used the SOS there because that was the move he got the near fall with Daniel Bryan later on in the night.
And then you had Rowan come out. Rowan was going to do, he had his own idea, which was a smart way round. Kofi believably beaten everyone. Rowan just went straight for Kofi, hit him with a chair, put him through the announcer's table with the iron claw. And yeah, it was that. It's, and in fact, it fits with Daniel Bryan's methodology because in that there's a really, really good 2 out of 3 falls match with Sheamus. I can't remember what pay-per-view it was between Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. And Bryan wins the first fall and immediately gets disqualified in the second fall just by, like, I think, with a submission. But then that weakens Sheamus up for the third fall. So it's like, that's great tactics. And then you write Rowan out of it.
Yeah.
Onto Samoa Joe. And you're like, oh my God, Kofi's lying there dead. And here comes Joe. How will he defeat him? Unfortunately, with sort of the same finish that we'd already seen here and last week on Joe with Ray. And this was the first bit where I was like, oh, okay.
Well, this is why I didn't want Joe in the match. Like, this is why I didn't really want Joe in this gauntlet match, because I don't like pinning champions if it's not for a championship, like, or setting up future championship matches. Like, I think Joe was almost a smart choice here because he is the big dominating heel, but at the same time, he's also United States champion, and you promoting a match with him earlier in the night with Rey Mysterio for that United States championship. And now it's just like, well, now he's just a bit rubbish and he got rolled up with a... You know, he got rolled up and pinned, despite the fact that Kofi got put through a table with an iron claw.
Yeah.
And Joe was like, Joe dominated the entire thing because every time Kofi tried to mount some offense, Joe would just shut him down with whatever. And Joe looked really cool. It's just a shame then that he just, you know, had to get rolled up and pinned.
Yeah, I thought all that coolness was undermined
with
by
the finish,
which was just a roll up. And sure, that's a smart way to beat Joe, but it's not a smart way to beat Joe if you've also had two kind of other fluky victories earlier in this match. And last week...
I don't think he had fluky victories. Like, the Trouble in Paradise win was very much like he reversed the bro kick to hit that.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he hit the SOS clean to get that win over Cesaro as well. And then Rowan taking himself out of DQ.
Maybe I'm more saying it in advance than of the Randy Orton sort of quick roll up at the
perhaps,
end there.
Perhaps, yeah. Also worth noting as well that Rowan came out to the Bludgeon Brothers music.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and not his usual solo sheep herder music. Which Matthew from Botchamania says sounds like Spyro the Dragon. Mm.
But the previous week, on last week's show, Rey Mysterio got this surprise roll up on Joe. And I just feel like it's such a lazy way to book Joe. I didn't like this finish. I thought there were many other ways you could have done this, from a Rey Mysterio rundown if Joe is being bad behind the referee's back. That will get over how the babyface locker room are behind Kingston. That took me out of it a bit. I was just like, that's a bit lazy. But then Joe chokes out Kofi in rage.
Completely
afterwards.
Chokes him out as well.
Finally, that this is like 41 minutes in now to this match, Randy Orton comes down. I was like, this is what we wanted. This is Randy versus Kofi as the payoff to that decade ago storyline that was just scrapped, which is when Kofi was going to break through to the main event. And I thought, although it was a lot of rest holds and headlocks, I thought Orton did a really good job at keeping those engaging.
Yeah.
Like thrashing around with the headlock.
And he even pulled out a stupid, which I thought was really... I thought it was a nice little callback.
Yeah, yeah. And then Randy goes for the RKO, but Kofi hits Trouble in Paradise, but Orton rolls out of the ring.
That was a really great spot.
That was so good. And like Kofi's just reaching for him as he rolls out. And then you get a few Randy spots, draping DDTs, setting up the RKO, but Kingston just rolls him up for the win.
I didn't particularly like that finish either. I thought it would be better if he had like the big Trouble in Paradise, get the pinfall, crowd counts along 1, 2, 3, and you do the big sort of finish. And then when the Vince McMahon thing happened, I was like, oh, okay, so we were saving the Trouble in Paradise win for this match then. Okay, well, I get the Randy Orton roll up then. But we didn't get that either.
Yeah, so what happened? Everyone... Maybe that's why I'm trying to figure out why I'm not ecstatic about this whole night. And I don't think it's because I've been worked by WWE. Like, I can... I don't think my
you recognize it's a story
that way.
Was it because Todd Phillips called him Big E when he'd been in the match? He said Big E's been in this match for 41 minutes, and instantly Corey Graves said the exact same line but with the correct name. It was when Kofi Kingston has been in this match for 41 minutes.
Corey's the best. Corey had a fantastic line about Joe. Joe thrives on his ability to prove hope is a mistake. That's amazing.
Go ahead and pick up on that Saxton line, because I found it now. This was a tweet that someone referenced to me on Twitter. It said, no one in pro wrestling media will say this, and I'm not sure any of them will get the reference, but Saxton's quote about Kofi having to work twice as hard to get half as far is a reference to him being black. Well done, SmackDown Live.
Mm.
It's interesting.
So Kofi beats Orton. And that was two anticlimactic finishes, really, for me, back-to-back with Joe and Orton. And then New Day are out there, like, like they were. I don't know how they got there so fast.
they teleported there, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they're celebrating, and that's when, like, I noticed there's more time left. Yeah. And Vince McMahon's entrance music hits. He comes out and he says, "Congratulations! You know, well done. You did it." And everyone is like, "It's not gonna."
And but he said the line, "You're going to WrestleMania," and New Day celebrating. The crowd go, "Yes, he's going to WrestleMania." But Vince has that look on his face, like, "So long as you can beat this one last person."
Mm. And that was like, that was great.
Yeah,
that was so good. Vince in this particular. Take aside why he's doing it, and motivation aside.
Because he appears to have no motivation to do this.
He is fantastic at working the crowd and being this Kofi antagonist.
And it would have been
no reason.
But it would have been so much better had we not done this with Charlotte and Owens. Well, I suppose Owens was tied to the Kofi thing, so I suppose it works for that one. But if he hadn't done it with the Charlotte thing, I don't think we would have been like, well, this seems very weird.
Mm. So he said, "You've just got to beat one more person." And everyone's like, "No." And I was like, "Yes, right, okay, so now we're going to get the big finish that we wanted, that we were just talking about." And Daniel Bryan comes down. I'm like, "Oh, how are they going to get out of this one? I'm genuinely intrigued." The answer is, they don't. So Daniel Bryan and Kofi had a pretty good 5-minute match, and Daniel Bryan beat him. And then, yeah, with the knee, 1, 2, 3, that's it. And it, like, the feed almost cut as soon as Daniel Bryan won.
Mm.
And I said out loud at home, "Oh, crap." And my girlfriend said from the other room, "Is everything okay?" I was like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. So I'm definitely excited to see what happens next week. But I'm also aware that WrestleMania is 2-3 weeks away. And I would like to have... just the match decided now, so we can start with the actual build.
I think that, but I would argue that this is the build. We know this is the match we're going to get at WrestleMania. Perhaps I've been very bold in saying that, and it'll turn out to be
Baron Corbin.
But I am like 99% certain that we're getting Bryan versus Kofi at WrestleMania. So I look at this is the booking, and this is the story that we're telling of Kofi constantly being screwed. As I said, the problem with that is that we were doing this with Becky just a few weeks ago. I don't need another McMahon authority figure kind of like interfering with stuff. And I've had a few people tweet to me today saying, like, if they're going to do Occupy SmackDown next week, do you think that Triple H and Stephanie will come out and stand up to Vince? And I was like, the last thing this needs is more bloody McMahons interfering in things. This just needs to be New Day. New Day needs to be the ones that get Kofi into this match. Mm. Kofi leading, New Day leading this Occupy SmackDown thing, which I think was set up on this show through the SmackDown locker room watching. So I'm really excited for next week's show. I don't think it was the most perfectly booked Gauntlet match. I wasn't massively keen on pinning Samoa Joe, being that he's the United States champion and trying to promote a WrestleMania match between him and Rey.
You just do a DQ or you find another way.
You find another way around. Wasn't massively keen on him doing a roll-up victory over Randy Orton. I think if Kofi's going to beat Orton, just have him beat Orton and make it look convincing and not like a fluke win.
Hmm.
With that said, I thought the drama that the match told, I thought the stuff backstage was really, really great. Yes. So, and I think that added to the match. And I've just kind of enjoyed this journey that Kofi's been going on sort of since Elimination Chamber. I've just been really enjoying this Kofi journey to Kofi Mania. Mm. And I just think that it just keeps going up and up and up and up. And I'm genuinely very invested in it. And as I said, like, when Kofi was coming up, I was a jaded 20-year-old, so I didn't really care. He was aimed at kids, so he wasn't aimed for me, so I didn't really get it. And that's fine, because I'm a 20-year-old. I don't think I'm supposed to get it. But now I look at him, I'm like, he is awesome, and I really want to see him win the title at WrestleMania.
Mm.
Yep. So for me, it completely worked. And that's why I can forgive the first hour, which was mostly so-so, and I got so invested in it, I gave it a SmackDown rating.
I recognize that, yeah. For me, this is, I mean, again, I'm defending, I would give it 4 out of 5 this show.
Yeah. So negative.
I know.
So negative.
I only thought it was the second highest score I can possibly give. But it's just like, if this was on Raw, I think we'd both be sitting back and going, thank God.
Oh, finally.
But because SmackDown has these slightly higher expectations, it's like when we talk about New Japan, we are not like, say, if we talked about it on the same scale as we do Raw, we'd be freaking out about every little thing that happens. But the fact is, you sort of adjust how you review a show to the overall quality of it in general. And SmackDown has been very good for weeks. I just felt this wasn't the most effective next step and booking. I just felt it was quite... I get on paper, there's a nice symmetry between the Gauntlet match to get him there and the Gauntlet match to screw him out of it again. And with the Daniel Bryan symmetry is fantastic. But I just felt it was too much like the previous one and not as inventive. Like the first Gauntlet match... Mm-hmm. was much, much better.
Oh, yeah, it was a much better booked match. Yeah,
yeah. That's where I'm coming.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, let's do some Patreon shout-outs, and everyone just go crazy at me in the comments for being negative. Thank you, Arnie K. The K stands for the coolest dude ever.
Oh, he's cool. Woo! He is cool. She should be so lucky. Kylie Downey.
Yes.
Lovely stuff.
Shaun of the Dead Peril.
Oh, wait Woo! For all this to blow over. The real boss, Matt Robinson. Real boss drinking.
It's the name of the beer. Dat Boy, Alex Fenton.
That was his suggestion, not mine.
Okay.
Because he used to be Alex Wazer Fenton. Join him, John Iowa.
Whoa, yes. Marky Mark and the Bunts E-Bunch.
Yes.
Great.
The Rocket, Dan Van Sky.
Nice. Woo. Cheers, Dan Van Sky. The chairman of the board, Jer Personen. He's a long-running one.
Long-running one. One of the most positive people I've ever encountered. And finally for today, the mayor of Painesville, Dan!
Whoa!
Yes, Dan. Come on, Dan. Absolutely.
SmackDown didn't start with Kofi Kingston's gauntlet match like advertised. It began with The Miz coming out.
Well, no, okay, I'm going to defend this segment. Miz came out to a great babyface reaction.
Yeah.
I was someone who was very down on the idea of Miz being a babyface because I remember the last time we tried this and what an absolute disaster it was.
That was a pre-brand split, pre-talking smack age, where The Miz was a great promo, but now it's like he's gone into HD.
Because he was a... dreadful babyface that absolutely no one cared about. No. And I was worried that he's been so ingrained as a heel, it might be impossible for people to get behind him as a babyface. But to his absolute credit, he has made this work. And I think he is nailing this role. Crowd are super into him. And I think that when he was cutting this promo on Shane McMahon, the crowd were with him with every word that he had to say. I thought this was a fabulous promo by The Miz.
It's very, very well delivered. The content was really good as well. He was talking about how...
The content's slightly shaky at times because I don't really buy into this. Like, my dad's never said he's proud of me. And I'm like, yes, he bloody has. Look at him.
Yeah.
Look at that man. He has said, I'm proud of you more times that he's had hot dinners.
I love you, son.
Exactly.
Every morning, just sending him texts and emojis. But it got really good where he He was talking about, you know, recapping the story so far. And, you know, fine, you've got to do that. And, well, he even introduced the video package to show what Shane did last week. And then he sort of switched gears and said, but when you laid your hands on my father, you're just like Vince. You weren't born the best in the world. You were born the worst in the world, mm-hmm. which sounds naff when I say it, but that was a good line when he delivered it.
Yep.
But the best thing was, I thought, when he said, the McMahons don't own me as the Miz.
Yeah.
And the crowd really cheered. And then they went, you don't own Kofi either. And that was a really nice use of Kofi and this yeah. groundswell of support for Kingston from the babyface locker room.
Agreed.
But then, yeah, he talks about how his dad said it never amount to anything.
Which, again, I don't buy it. Miz dad is definitely on Miz's side.
I thought that was just a weird line to put in, because that just makes me... The heat goes from Shane to Miz's dad.
Miz's dad, yeah, exactly. And yeah. Miz's dad always seemed like a very supportive guy. Yeah.
But the crowd start chanting, you deserve it. I just thought...
And he said, he goes, no, I don't. And he's, oh, no, he said, yes, I do. Yeah, it was really nice. It was like a really off-the-cuff thing. It's like, yeah, I do, because I've earned my spot here.
This was classic, solid Miz promo, great delivery.
Yeah.
Really, really good, but didn't further anything for me. And it's a storyline I'm just not invested in
mm-hmm.
because I did the Shane-Miz relationship, it didn't have enough time for me to fully buy into.
And it was very shonky. In terms of yeah. it started over here and then went over to there and then sort of diverted to over there. It never really had like a very clear through line.
They never won the tag team. They won the tag team championships on their first time of asking. So what?
But how
what
are they
is
then
there
gonna,
left to?
But how are they going to manage against the Usos?
Yeah,
it was weird.
So after that, we got the Iconics coming out. Well, Bayley and Banks came out first because they said they'll be. On Raw. Stupid. They were advertising. They were promoting stuff for SmackDown. I just thought, well, they're going to bump it.
Yeah.
To make it more believable when the Kofi match overruns.
I thought so as well, man. That's what I was saying last week. But yeah, Bayley and Banks came out, finally appearing on SmackDown after saying they would defend the women's tag team titles on all three brands. And that was nice. And the Iconics came out and cut a promo saying that they finally arrived. But you look very small and scared in our ring and this, that, and the other. And yeah, they had a match. It wasn't a great match. I love the Iconics. I do. I genuinely love the Iconics, particularly Peyton Royce. But this wasn't a good match. They did try a double team move at one point, and it did look very bad.
Yeah, and there was no crowd reaction.
No,
to the Iconics.
Not really.
Because
why would there be?
We like them.
Yeah,
we know how great they can be. It's just like the Revival. If you never watched any NXT and people started banging on to you about how great the Revival are, you are within your rights to go, what?
What are you on about? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we actually had that as a mailbag question once.
Yeah.
As someone who's only watched the main roster was like, well, why should I care about the Revival? Mm. And you're like, well, if you go back and watch, but it doesn't really matter because the main roster has presented them as nothing. And the main roster has presented the Iconics as nothing for the better part of a year.
Yeah.
For the same reason, like if Sanity all of a sudden came out and were in top contention for the tag titles, and you're like, why? Why should I care?
Yeah. It was, and it was just another sort of distraction roll up ad break. What am I trying to say? Roll up.
It was a roll up. Yeah. Peyton Royce got the roll up, and Billy Kay kind of held down Banks from the outside.
This was an ad break of a match.
The Iconics won. And there was a point halfway through this match, I was like, is this for the tag titles or not? Because they didn't say it was. But I don't think they've said it's not either. So when the Iconics won, I thought, have they just won the belts? And then it was just like, no, they've pinned the tag champs, which then furthers the idea they're going to do this fatal four-way or this four corners match at WrestleMania.
So many devastating opposition teams with Beth Phoenix, Nia Jax, Tamina.
You're not getting on the Beth Phoenix burying bandwagon again, are you?
I'm just saying
because
she's not...
You'd say you hate her and you think she's a smelly person.
I'm saying she's got great arms.
You're saying she's a smelly garbage wrestler and you don't want to see her wrestle.
I buy into the physicality of her arms. But she's not over. I particularly liked so the finish of the match was the roll, like Peyton Royce rolled up Sasha and then Billy Kay held down Sasha's arms so she couldn't kick out. Referee didn't see it because he's an idiot. But before that, you're thinking, well, where's Bayley in this? I'll answer. She's dead. Because Apparently, the Billie Kay big boot
is devastating.
Billie's big boot.
Well, I think it's her finish.
Is it?
I think it. I'm pretty sure that's what she used as a finish in
oh, wow.
in NXT. So I might be wrong on that one, but I think it is.
She hits Bayley with a big boot on the outside. Bayley is not getting up for minutes. She is laid down, looking up at the lights.
Yeah, like Dean Ambrose.
Arms spread. Yeah. Like she's going to do star jumps from a dead position. And just, yeah, it was comical. It was quite funny. After that, speaking of comical, now that's a good transition, Kayla. Because we cut backstage to Kayla. And this is now I've brought it up and we're all aware of it. I can't not see it. And it bugs me, happened twice on this show. Women's Tag Team Championships there now. That scene's heating up. Now for my guest at this time. Yeah. No, just to say hi. My guest at this time is. I don't. Why do you have to back reference the thing we just?
Because we were previously having a go at this company for just being my guest at this time, and we were looking for them to have a bit of personality. I guess this is WWE's way of injecting some personality into them.
Maybe by saying what I just saw.
Uh huh.
Here's what you just saw.
Oh yeah.
Now here's a person that mm-hmm. you can also see.
See. Oh yeah. Totally.
Robotic question.
Uh huh. See. Works, right? Gets everyone over.
I don't know. It's not the worst thing in the world, but for some reason it really bugs me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, she was interviewing Rey Mysterio, who I think she was taller than. And
everyone was taller than Rey.
Bloody hell. Because he then brings in his son Dominic, who is towering above Rey.
If I'm Rey, I'm looking at the mailman. You know? How's he so tall?
Because Dominic was about the same height as him, like during that Eddie Guerrero feud anyway. But yeah, Dominic walks in, massive. Worse haircut than Jack the Jobber, but he's absolutely massive. And but Ray says, oh yeah, I'm going to be facing Samoa Joe for the United States Championship at WrestleMania. And I thought, oh, glad we spent all those months building Ray versus Andrade. So we can just do this instead.
Andrade the Giant.
Andrade the Giant, exactly. Well, he would be next to Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, this was just... There's nothing wrong with it, but there was nothing right with it.
Well, it is setting up because Dominic said that he's going to be front row during Rey's match mm-hmm. at WrestleMania, which is essentially setting up more of Samoa Joe house invasions and messing with the family. Yeah. Ooh, Dominic.
Do you think Cassidy's going to come up again?
Well, what for another Daddy in the Bank ladder match?
Yeah,
could
yeah.
be, mate.
I just... Of all the ways to build the Joe-Ray feud, this is... I mean, there's nothing there. Here's the match.
But you know what? There was at least something to say there, which I don't think can be said for the next segment.
Yeah, so Kevin Owens comes. Oh, first off, Todd Phillips is running down the WrestleMania card. They get to Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle. Crowd boo heavily.
Because we're all being worked.
Yeah, or are we?
I don't think this match is taking place. I think that this is all done so we can be annoyed.
Backstage plan, PW Insider, Wrestling Observer. Love Justin LeBlanc, but bless him.
LeBlanc.
They're not PW Insider and Wrestling Observer.
True.
They are both saying that is 100% the plan at the moment.
That cannot be the case.
If plans change, it's because, you know, if we get another match, it's because they have changed the plans. This is...
That cannot be the case. Because I will dog on this company every day of the week, twice on Sunday. This company cannot have booked Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin as his farewell match. Because there's absolutely no one in their right mind that would have done that unless it was to be a swerve.
Or they watched the Wrestle Ramble. Because several people have tweeted me and have said, this is what we joked about last week.
Did we?
Yeah, apparently we said, oh no, they're going to make Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin. Ha ha. No, they'll never do that. Anyway, then we got the Kevin Owens show making its return with new graphics.
He's not the only one who's had an upgrade.
And yeah, it's just sort of like a yellow, black on yellow.
Yeah, it's just a new logo
thing,
for him.
New logo. And yeah, he has the obligatory Kofi Kingston reference for getting into WrestleMania. And then he welcomes Becky Lynch and Charlotte down. If the plan was for Owens originally to have a match against Bryan at WrestleMania and those plans fell through because of how hot Kofi got, maybe just keep Owens off until you do have something proper for him. Because now, you know, Owens coming back, he was written off, I think, in August. Within a couple of weeks, he's now just hosting a talk show segment for another program.
Yeah, he was once WWE championship title contender. Well, no, I was saying he was a title contender. Oh, like, literally 2 weeks ago at Fastlane. You might have forgotten about it.
Yeah.
But, yes, and now he's just here as a talk show host for a different feud. And I guess that he's just going to be part of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. There's no other storyline for Kev there. And everyone else is in bloody singles matches, so... Yeah, I guess it's just Battle Royal for you, sir. At least you get a new KO Mania t-shirt, maybe. But yeah, so he brought out... I mean, and this was a really weird way to kind of freight, like, to set this up. So, like, he had Flair and Lynch on opposite sides of the table. And Kevin's going through his notes that he's prepared, kind of recapping things that Ronda has said about it. Skipping over all, like, the this is scripted stuff that is not just limited to Ronda's own YouTube channel. She did do it on Raw as well. They've... skipped all that. Very, very happy about that. And then he says, hey, but look, we don't want to see you here talking. We want to see you here fighting. So I'm going to get out of the ring. And then Charlotte stands up and cuts a promo. And I'm like, I thought we were here to fight. Why? She stood up and picked up a microphone. And Becky picked up a microphone as well. I was like, why are we picking up microphones?
Because... grr.
And then eventually,
she's a heel.
So Charlotte... I don't even know if Charlotte said anything. Becky punched Flair and then a brawl broke out. This feud has lost all momentum.
Mm. Well, that's what happens when you book 6 months of storyline in a couple of weeks. They've run out. What else could they do now to make anyone excited about this match? They're doing a great job with Ronda as her character. But in terms of, like, that's almost like an insular thing. Like, the developments aren't between Ronda and Becky or Ronda and Charlotte. It's just Ronda is being awesome. This was not a good segment. It wasn't a great segment. It wasn't a bad segment. It was just a segment, which is really disappointing.
This feud is begging for the man to come around. Mm. Like, we need that man coming around segment that we had on Raw just before Survivor Series. This feud is begging for it at this point. It needs something
like it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It needs something to kind of like re-spark this. Because at this point, this cannot main event the show.
Mm. Yeah, it's a shame.
Although the crowd were more into Becky here than they were last week.
And backstage to Kayla Braxton, the women's division continues to heat up. AJ Styles is here. AJ says he's going to... metaphors about houses and building them and tearing them down and paying rent and rent's due. It was a fine promo. Says good luck to Kofi, and yeah, that's it.
That was it.
Yep. So he's kind of building his autumn feud, and that's the show. A very short recap because half the show was one match. It should have been even shorter because the whole show should have been one match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I gave it such a negative 4 out of 5.
Oh, God, you're so negative. What is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. I thought it was a SmackDown. I'm thoroughly enjoying this Kofi Kingston storyline. And I'm very much basing it. And I appreciate that this very much may be the wrong way to do it. And I'm willing for people to tell me that I am wrong to do it this way. But I am very much, it's an isolation thing. I enjoyed the Kofi stuff so much that's what pushed the show over the edge for me. I really enjoyed the Miz promo as well. And it was fun seeing Bayley and Banks on SmackDown, despite the fact the match was a bit rubbish. But, you know, I enjoyed the show at the end of it. It's how you leave them, folks.
First time ever Sasha Banks and Bayley have been on SmackDown Live.
I suppose, yeah, because they've always been...
Since the
Raw.
Brand split, yeah.
Yeah.
Was there any reaction me talking about Beth Phoenix?
Not in the ramble, but I think there was a lot of comments in your actual review of saying that Beth Phoenix is awesome and you're wrong.
People went to bat for her. Sure.
Yeah, people went to
I'm
bat
not
for
saying
her.
She's bad.
More of the heat was on me yesterday from the Wrestle Ramble because I'd said that Max Landis has only done one good thing outside of Chronicle, which was wrestling isn't wrestling.
Death of Superman is good.
Death of Superman Lives is good, but I'm talking about actual films.
Mm.
And someone said...
Yeah, what do people say is other good things?
American Ultra which is not one of them. Huh. It shouldn't be anyway, because it's not that great.
Yeah.
So I'm not the biggest Max Landis fan. I think that he is someone with a very talented father and is someone who would constantly say that Hollywood is doing everything wrong and I could make it better and has yet to show that.
Hey, I like him because he's one of us.
And
then he's fallen short. I think that's what I would hope for myself. I'd get a decent following from a few viral videos about how I would fantasy book something better. And then when it came to it and I had my own movie to write, I would make all the same mistakes that I call everyone else out
yeah.
for.
Let's also not forget that he was an accused part of the Me Too movement. Let's certainly not forget that side of things either. I'd also say that saying Bright is going to be your Star Wars is a very bold statement. Mm.
It's best just to not say that.
Exactly.
It's best just to say Bright is a movie that I have worked on.
Yeah, and I probably wouldn't go to parties wearing T-shirts that have just got my IMDb credits on it.
That's baller.
Because that makes you look
like...
That's
the Young Bucks would do that.
Oh, it makes you look like an absolute knob. And if the Young Bucks did that, it would make them look like a knob as well.
Oh, they had suits with their own faces on.
Well, that's merchandise. That's slightly different. You're trying to sell your merch.
That's... Max Landis he's obviously a huge wrestling fan, so he's got a nice wrestling showmanship streak running through him.
Yeah.
He could have been a good on-screen character, really.
Could have been, absolutely.
Could have been a Leo Rush kind of figure.
Yeah. I think it's highly ironic that he's also writing a Me Too movie. But that's by the by. Anyway, this comes in from Adam with 80% facts. Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, definitely not Randy. I added this community board over on Patreon about a week ago, but only realized while listening to the podcast that you mostly read out emails, so here it goes again. I remember hearing that Google's recapture anti-spam bot detector, the one that asks you to choose squares of shop fronts, cars, traffic lights, is just a ploy to help them improve their self-driving car AI. I can't remember where I heard this, but every time I fill one of them out now, I think to myself, is true or an 80% truth. Keep up the excellent and consistent work. Adam, the chap Luke spoke to at Wrestling MediaCon from Manchester. P.S. Have you thought about adding the Pledgehammer names to the video description as well as the rolling credits?
Huh.
That's a good idea, actually.
That's a good idea.
Very good idea.
So I've heard that fact
I've heard
as
it too.
Well.
Yeah.
Because it's also back when it used to be just words.
Yes.
And you'd be like, what is the word? That was actually helping Google digitize books. Because they don't care about copyright and they were just going to take all the
interesting.
Books.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so they could digitize every book ever written.
Yeah.
But computers have great difficulty looking at text on a page, weirdly, and deciphering what it is. Especially if it's like kind of smudged, those kinds of ones. So any problem words that pop up. I've also... So I don't know... That's true because I heard the guy who... I'd listened to an interview with the guy who invented that software. But...
So it is actually... To help out Google AI.
Yeah, I don't know about the drive-in thing, I'd presume, but I've sort of heard that as well, but I haven't heard it 100%.
Oh, okay.
But the, what was the other thing?
Books.
Books. Freaking. Right. That, this was the other part. This is a 40% fact.
Okay.
That because, like, how does the computer know which one's the right one if you're telling it what it is. So someone said to me, it doesn't matter which one you choose.
You don't. You can just click anything.
And it'll just push through.
Yeah.
And then you're going to screw up the car.
Yeah, exactly. I heard that as well. Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't tried that out myself because I'm too good a citizen. I'm like, well, it's that one.
That's the sign.
It's that one.
I sometimes get confused because it's like, you know, every photo that contains a sign, but sometimes the corner of the sign is in another square. I'm like, do I click that one as well? Technically, the sign's in it.
If you don't click it, a car in 3 years' time is going to run over a kid, and it's your fault.
It's probably my
because
fault,
it
mate.
Thought that kid was a sign, and it swerved to avoid a sign that it thought was a kid.
And then hit a different kid because it swerved to avoid a kid. That was the
story. No. It swerved to avoid a sign it thought was a kid.
Oh.
And hit a kid that
Wait,
it thought was
that.
A sign.
Okay, I'm
Alan
lost.
Alan Partridge had a good line about the self-driving cars.
Was this a couple of weeks ago?
No, this was last week's episode. I think it was last week's episode.
Oh,
when he's talking
when it's
with,
a lot with Lolly Adaphobia. Yeah, yeah. That's my new favourite segment of the show, is the stuff with Lolly Adaphobia. I think it's so good.
And he's...
It's initialism.
Yeah. DVSA.
And I think it's actually.
And he said, what, like, oh man, don't you love it when people try and recap funny jokes from really well-produced TV shows?
Eddie Murphy had a whole skit about it in Delirious, I believe it was. 80% fact, this comes in from Derek. The song All My Life by the Foo Fighters is about jogging with your mouth. Which is true, actually. That Dave Grohl has said that in an interview. It's one of my favourite. Yeah, there's lots of lines in there. Don't let it go to waste. Love it, but I hate the taste. Done, on to the next one.
So whose perspective is that from?
It's from his. It's about sort of like getting ahead in the musical industry by...
Getting a head.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, absolutely, industry. Yeah. I think he talks about being on my knee. Yeah, over and over, down on my knees. Is another line to suggest that. Yeah, so that one is true, I believe.
I've heard Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys is also a song about jogging.
Assisted
the breathing,
jogging.
Yeah, like the sort of breathing oral side of jogging. You know, the thing that you just said.
Oh, yeah.
The Good Vibrations is also about that.
Yeah, assisted jogging, yeah. Mm. Mm, okay.
But I don't think that's true.
I don't know that one, to be honest. Maybe more of our musical. I actually heard I was into a podcast today, and I'm thinking of setting this up with some friends of mine.
Here comes another podcast.
No, it's not a podcast idea. I heard it on a podcast.
Okay.
So a guy had emailed in saying that he and his group of friends have like a CD club or like a band club. Essentially, each of them take it in turns to pick an album, and over the course of that week, they all have to listen to that album three times and then give a full review of it on a WhatsApp group, and you kind of like share your thoughts on it. I think I'm setting up with some friends of mine because I could do with expanding some of my listenership in terms of what I listen to, and also
into the noughties,
maybe
and break also, out of that 90s decade.
And also, it's why I like Captain Marvel so much. I was like, yes, it's all No Doubt, but also explore albums that I've previously not listened to that are like from the past, which I thought would be quite good.
Makes me weird when you talk about other friends.
Well, I was going to suggest doing it for this group here, but I'm not sure how. Like, I mean, it's certainly not Randy. That's likes the Rasmus, for God's sake. Exactly. I'm not even suggest that because he will suggest that because he's an idiot, so he definitely will suggest that, and he'll think it's funny,
and we'll set up a game club and they'd say, and we'll play Hogs of War. Damn it, Andy, we know you like Hogs of War and the Rasmus.
This comes in from Niccolo. Dear Luke, Ollie, Laurie, not Randy. So in Italy we have been illuminated by flat earth believer that Australia and New Zealand do not exist. And they've been,
is this an 80% fact?
Yeah, and they've been added to the world map by the Illuminati, and whoever says to live there is a liar who wants you to believe they exist, but in reality they don't. And yes, they went to say it on TV. Cheers.
I was at the pub on Sunday,
and because Niccolo is from Italy, his email is signed off with invaito da iPhone.
Oh, sent from my iPhone. Well, I've been told Italy doesn't exist, despite having been there. I think it was just the plane was rerouted. They dressed up Kent to look like the Amalfi Coast. And then, yeah, we landed. It's the Truman Show.
Oh, it's Truman Show. I once thought if I was in the Truman Show that when we would travel like 3.5 hours to go see like my grandparents and stuff up in the Northwest, that driving time is really just them building the new set or like redressing the old set of where I used to live in Reading to then look like the new place I'm going. I thought if this was the Truman Show.
If. But I was at the pub on Sunday enjoying my last day of drinking because I'm now teetotal for a whole month.
What about this beer we just drank?
Oh, tonight? That doesn't count. That's a sip. I didn't even think of that. I'm not going to drink an entire pint. There's a look, I know how, the AA people feel now.
Yeah.
I'm effectively there with them.
Okay.
As someone who's overcome for a month drinking alcohol.
Okay.
I'm brave.
Yeah.
This is my story.
Anyway, so you were down the pub.
One of the bartenders had a flat earth t-shirt on.
No way.
And I'm looking at him and saying, is this ironic? I don't think this is the ironic part of town.
You're too afraid to ask him in case it's not ironic and then he wants to talk to you about it.
Yeah. And I was like, is it an album cover? And then, no. I looked at his back for a long time.
Yeah.
It was like Flat Earth and a load of things about it.
Oh, it's facts and stuff. Can you remember any of the facts that were on there?
No.
Because they would have been 80% facts, so you can't quite remember them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's generous to call Flat Earth 80% facts.
Oh, yeah, it's very true.
I think they're more in the alternative facts.
Mm.
They're like... They're genuinely insidious facts.
I'm so glad we're saying this on this podcast and not in the YouTube version of this, because then you just get a lot of people going like, hey man, they've just got some really good arguments.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
I'm not saying, like AJ Styles, I'm not saying that the Earth is flat, I'm just saying they have very good arguments.
Yeah, I don't know which one is the good argument.
I'm waiting to hear.
Right? I've heard all of them.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I've looked into this quite a lot now, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to be, because that's what a cool thing that would be.
Yeah, totally.
The Earth's flat. There's a big conspiracy. There's a freaking giant ice wall around us.
Yep.
But no, nothing has convinced me. It's like Santa Claus. Like, I want to believe Santa is real.
Yeah.
And maybe he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't believe it's possible or worth it.
Yeah. I would like to like a Max Landis movie, but I've yet to be shown an example of that being the case.
Chronicle.
But that's more Josh Trank, I think. And I also think that it loses itself in its third
act. Oh, Fantastic Four's Josh Trank.
Yes. But I also think that... Yeah, but that... I mean, he lost control of that film. But I also think that that film completely loses itself in its last third and stops being a found footage movie, even though it still wants to pretend it is one. Anyway, lastly, this comes in from one of our listeners, 80% fact. I was told that once that if you sneeze with your mouth closed, you could pop a vein in your head and die.
Lots of sneezy ones. The eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brain cells being... If you sneeze and kind of hold it in, like close your nose and sort of close your mouth, you'll destroy brain cells, I heard. Crikey. 80% fact.
80% fact. But that's all we've got time for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the NXT review with the always trustworthy Laurie Blake, talking about whatever happens on NXT. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.